The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
And welcome everyone to episode 22 of the Five Star Match Game. I'm your humble host, Joe Gagne, and what a contest we have today, as this episode will focus on the Clash of the Champions. And the is very important, otherwise we'd just be discussing random September WWE pay-per-views. Ugh. And what a panel
Wait a second. I mean, they changed the name a lot. They never really were straight on if it's Clash of the Champions, the Clash of Champions, the Clash of the Champions, etc.
I swear it was just Clash of Champions, which, by the way, they are on Peacock, but not Clash of the Champions. So if you want to see that, too damn bad. It's off to Daily Motion with you. So, and you already heard our first contestant. He is a co-host of Between the Sheets, a researcher for Dark Side of the Ring, and the pro wrestling muckraker, David Bixenspan. Bix, how are you doing?
Okay.
He does break the muck, doesn't he?
How are you feeling, Ben?
I'm doing okay. Not having any dominoes right now, but it is what it is.
I was going to say, it's going to, attacking wrestling fans, it's going to put big dent in dominoes profits there. I don't know if that's one demographic you want to be attacking. And up next, we have the other co-host of Between the Sheets, as well as the host of Exile on Bad Street, the co-host of Cover to Cover, and the co-host of The Pay Window,
You forgot Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributor.
Oh, that's right. Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributor, Chris Zellner. And Chris, how you doing? And if you you start doing bad, you can't say your internet is going out. So, sorry.
Yeah, we had that problem recording on Between the Sheets recently, where the power went out. It flicked and as we recorded, and that was down for 90 minutes. I had power, but I had no internet. So, yeah, we're hope everything goes good tonight. And yeah, this is me and my co-host. What can I say? This is always a treat to have the whole family together, I guess you could say.
Speaking of that family, last never least, making his fourth appearance on the show, here's the other co-host of Cover to Cover, and that Patreon's coming any day now, Mr. Rob Naylor. Rob, how are you doing?
Hey, what's up? Even though I'm the oldest, I'm still the kid brother of the family. I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. Everything is good in my world, so yay.
All right, very good. Well, we have five rounds of trivia all about the beloved NWA WCW specials, and I should have posted this show opposite WrestleMania to really get the full effect of the clash. But nevertheless, let us dive in with round number one. What's the stipulation? For this game, I'll give each of you a bout in the clash it occurred on. You tell me the stipulation it was competed under. So if I said Ric Flair versus Terry Funk from Clash 9, you'd hopefully respond, I quit match. And the match I give you may not have a stipulation, so you can just say none. We're not looking for if it was a title match, just the unique condition or stipulation attached to the match. So everyone gets five questions. Correct answers are worth 1 point apiece. Are we ready?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, Bix, you're up first. You have Cactus Jack versus Van Hammer from Clash 18.
I know you're going to accept false count anywhere, so I can't say that. But I couldn't remember if this was one where it was false count anywhere, like in the state or whatever.
Because it's false count anywhere, you're correct.
Because right. Later in the year, you know, at the Beach Blast, there's Cactus and Sting and false count anywhere on the Gulf Coast. So I couldn't remember if this was like false count anywhere in Biloxi or wherever it was.
All right, no, Bix, you're right. We can move on. All right, Chris, you have Ric Flair versus Bobby Eaton from Clash 15.
Oh, God, that was Knoxville. Wasn't that two out of three falls?
That was two out of three falls, is correct.
Yes.
All right, Rob, you get Barry Windham and Arn Anderson versus Brian Pillman and Elegante from Clash 15.
That is Loser Leaves Town.
That's right. Loser Leaves WCW is correct. I had to give you an Elegante question.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. All right, Bix, back to you. You get Flair and Anderson versus the Hollywood Blondes from Clash 23.
That would also be best 2 out of 3 falls.
That is correct. All right, Chris, you get Sting versus Nikita Koloff from Clash 15.
Wow, still in Knoxville, right? They didn't have a stipulation.
That is correct. I tried to trip you up. The Russian chain match was at the Bash.
Yeah, there was a chain bit after that. Right. Yeah, because that was the.
Okay, Rob, you get from Clash 1, was it the Road Warriors and Dusty versus the Powers of Pain?
That would be the barbed wire match.
That is correct. Chicago Street Fight.
Yeah, first Elegante, now a Dusty question. Thank you.
All right, Bix, back to you. You get Steiners versus Doom from Clash 10.
That would be masks versus titles.
That is correct. All right, Chris, you get Ricky Steamboat versus Steve Austin from Clash 20.
That was a TV title change, but I don't think there's a stipulation, though.
That was actually a no DQ match.
Oh, shit. I'm the first one to miss.
Yeah, Chris, think about what the finish was and who was booking at the time. Well, who was in charge at the time.
Yeah, it's Bill Watts. Yeah, I can't remember if it was no DQ or not. I just know Steamboat won the belt. That's why I remember that.
All right, Rob, back to you. You get Chris Benoit versus the Taskmaster from Clash 34, one of the later ones.
That would be a Falls Count Anywhere matchup.
Oh, Rob is correct. Rob stays perfect. All right. Dix, back to you. You have Johnny B. Badd versus Scotty Flamingo from Clash 21.
That would be a boxing match.
Oh, correct. All right, Chris, back to you. You have Big Josh versus Tommy Rich from Clash 17.
That would be Thomas Rich.
Thomas Rich, my apologies.
It's Big Josh, that's Lumberjack.
Oh, correct. All right, Rob, back to you. Ricky Steamboat versus Terry Funk from Clash 7.
I don't think it had a stip.
And you would be correct.
Oh, thank God. All right.
All right, Bix, final question. Brian Pillman versus Colonel Robert Parker from Clash 26.
That would be a Loser Wears a Chicken Suit.
That is absolutely correct. All right, Chris, your final question. Vinny Vegas versus Tony Atlas from Clash 22.
Oh, my God. There was no feet involved, but there was arm wrestling.
That is correct.
Well done.
Rob, your final question. Ricky Morton versus Ivan Koloff from Clash 3.
It's a chain match.
Russian chain match is correct. All right, so we have Bix and Rob both perfect with 5. Chris right behind with 4.
Yeah.
We head to round number 2. Well, it's Chris's favorite game, putting in the work. For this game, I'll give you 2 names. You tell me who had the most matches at a Clash. So if I say Jim Duggan and Ultimo Dragon, hopefully you respond to Ultimo, as he had 3 matches to Duggan's 2.
Remember, we don't have all the gimmick starcades this time, so it's true. Not quite as
laborious. Yeah. Now, yeah. I will say this is main show matches, does not include dark matches, and this encompasses a person, not a gimmick. So Scott Hall would also include the Diamond Stud.
Okay, good.
And it is matches, not how many clashes they appeared on. So if you had more than 1 match at a clash, which wasn't frequent, but if you did, it would count for, if you had 2 appearances, it would count for 2.
Okay.
All right, Chris, you're up first. We got the 2 big ones. We have Sting and Ric Flair.
Sting.
That's correct. 25-21. All right, Rob, you have 2 favorites here, Buddy Landell and Stan Hansen.
Oh, for crying out loud. I'm going to say Buddy?
That is correct. 2-1. Stan Hansen.
All right.
I want to see that match.
Yeah, right.
All right, Bix, you have Alex Wright and Chris Benoit.
I'm going to say Benoit.
Oh, it's actually Alex Wright. 5-4.
Oh.
All right, Chris, back to you. You have Rick Rude and Steve Williams.
I want to say Dr. Death.
And you'd be right. 11-9.
Yeah.
All right, Rob, back to you. We have Arn Anderson and Bobby Eaton.
Well, that's tough. That's a tough one.
I'm going with Arn.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bobby Eaton, 19-16. I think Arn's
Whoa.
Really?
disappearances in 88 and 89 being out of the company.
Yeah, I guess so. Good call on all those clashes.
All right, Bix, back to you. We have Dusty Rhodes and Diamond Dallas Page.
Ooh. Okay, so wait a second.
That fits perfectly.
Do this in my head for a second. Yes, it does. Should have brought this one, though. Like, I get what you're trying to do brain teaser-wise with this one, too. I'm going to go with Dusty, because I really can't think of that many for DDP.
You're correct. 5-4.
Right there. Close enough.
All right. Chris, back to you. You have the Steiner Brothers and the Freebirds.
Now, this is Michael Hayes and Jimmy Garvin Freebirds, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Strictly Hayes and Garvin and Hayes and Garvin and a partner.
It's just strictly Hayes and Garvin, yeah.
Oh, strictly them as a two-man team.
Yes.
I'm going to say Hayes and Garvin.
That was the Steiners, 13-12. Very close.
Oh, I missed by one.
Damn it. Rob, two legendary tag teams here, the Rock and Roll Express and the Renegade Warriors.
Oh, man, I love me some Renegade Warriors. I'm going to say...
Now, this is specifically for the tag teams of Gibson and Morton teaming up.
Sure, sure, sure. I guess R&R.
Oh, sorry, the Renegade Warriors, 2-1.
Well, wait. That's R&W. Forget it. Yeah, you're right. I was trying to get
I figured that out as you were asking. As you were asking me, because I was like, wait a second. I think the Rock and Roll's only clash match is the Weird Midnight Swan. So,
yeah.
Wow. There you go. Nice. You stumped me. Good one.
All right. But also, you got to remember 1990 clashes, too, are particularly odd. Like, if he ends up asking, like, Susan Sexton or Magnum Force, like, I'm not really sure.
Only, only clashes and late era clashes are my strong. They're not my strong. It's okay.
All right. Bix, back to you. You have Jushin Liger and Masahiro Chono.
I believe Chono in something like 2-1.
Exactly 2-1. You are correct.
Wow. Because Liger has the tag tournament match with Benoit. Whereas Chono has, I don't even remember who he faced, but I know he has an NWO era clash match plus the Steiner's tag.
Wow. All right.
Chris, back to you. You have Steve Austin and Mike Rotunda.
I'm going to go Mike Rotunda.
Oh, sorry. It's Austin, 14-12.
Oh, okay.
All right, Rob, back to you. You have Tom Zenk and Ricky Steamboat.
Oh, man. Z-Man. Let me see. I didn't say him as my answer. I'm decided to say
the guy. The guy that was hired to replace the other one.
Wait a minute. Okay. Let me rack my brain here for a second. I'm going to go with Ricky the Steamboat Dragon.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was Tom Zenk, 12-11. Zenk was on just a ton of clashes. Pretty much 89-93. So,
yeah, good question. Very good.
Steamboat had that layoff, you know. At two years, he wasn't in the company.
Yeah, at least in WCW, Tom Zenk never tweaked.
He never tweaked.
All right, Bix, back to you. You have two greats here. We have Brutus Beefcake and Shane Douglas.
Oh, oh fuck.
What a mess that would be.
Okay. Wait, who went to Shane Douglas?
Brutus Beefcake. Brother Brutai.
Okay, wait a second. Brutus Beefcake.
No, Shane Douglas, 4-2.
Oh, you missed.
what are the Shane Douglas matches I'm forgetting?
Oh, he had some dynamic.
Oh, wait, I forgot. I'm an idiot. I forgot the Steamboat Run.
Yeah,
that's why.
Steamboat Run.
Green Park. Yeah.
All right. Our last run here. Chris, you have Ranger Ross and Kevin Nash.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. Oh, man, that's a match I would love to see, too. I'm going to say Kevin Nash.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's Ranger Ross, 5-4.
Wow.
What are the Ross matches? Do you have them?
He's fighting, like, El Cubano and the Terrorist. And
wow, that's really crazy. I thought for sure that was an easy Kevin Nash with all the gimmicks. Okay.
Huh. Nash just had a couple Master Blasters and Oz and... Vinny Vegas,
and then I figured at the later run he would have one, so that's surprising.
He actually never had one when he came. I don't believe he ever had one when he came
there.
There
you go. That's why you got us.
Yeah, I was thinking he was on at least one of the later ones. No, that was he was supposed to. Savage sub for him. That last one. It was Hall and Savage against DDP and Luger.
Ross has 5 Clash appearances. That'll be the craziest stat in this game, I think.
Wow. How many combat kicks does he hit in those 5 Clash appearances?
I don't know. I just know he doesn't hit any moonsaults.
Well, so. I know one of them he did, and that's the one. You got one, he got squashed by Sid in like a minute. So
yeah, I do remember that one.
Yeah, he didn't hit any kicks in that one.
All right, Rob, your final question. You have Harlem Heat and the Fantastics.
Oh.
Wait. Either version of the Fantastics?
Well, I meant the traditional.
Okay.
Bobby Bolden, Tommy Rogers.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to go with Harlem Heat.
You would be correct. 5-4.
Wow.
All right, Fix, your final question. You have Evad Sullivan and the Renegade.
Hell yeah.
There's a match.
There is a match. Jungle Jim Steele in the 3-way.
Evad and the Renegade. Okay. This has to be Evad because the equalizer matches.
You are correct. 3-2.
Okay.
Score after 2 rounds, we have Bix with 8, Rob with 7, Chris with 6. As we head to the halfway point and my favorite game, List 'Em and Learn. For this game, I'll give you a category. We'll say the number of people who have done commentary for a clash. We'll say it's 20. Player 1 will give the number they can name off the top of their head, and we'll say it's 10. Player 2 has the option of saying they can name more or challenging player 1. If they say they can name more, they have to increase by total by 1. You can guess as many as you want. It goes back and forth till someone is challenged. At that point, the person challenged has to name the proper number of names. Hit the mark, you get 2 points. Get anything wrong, your opponent gets 2 points. So everyone gets 2 turns with a chance to go first and also challenge. Yes, Bix, you had a question.
Is this anyone that did commentary on any match at a clash?
No, that was an example. That's not one of the questions.
Good God.
Yeah, we haven't gotten there yet.
Okay.
All right, so Chris, you're in third, so I'm going to give you a choice. We have a category with 13 items on it. We have one with, 32, and one with 18. So you get to pick which one. You can go with one with more or less.
I'll go 18.
All right, 18. This will be for you and Bix. So, 18 men can say they have participated in a world title match at a clash. Emphasis, they consider a world title. How many can you name?
And this is with the same world title guidelines we had last time, right?
Yes.
Anything considered as a world heavyweight title, correct?
Correct. How many?
So, that would be WCW, International, or NWA, basically.
Those all count.
All right, who's calling?
Your call, Chris. How many you think you can name?
18.
You're going to do them all. Okay. All right. So here we go. You name them all. You get 2 points.
Okay. Ric Flair and Sting. That's the first 2. Come to mind.
A bunch, yes. For the NWA.
Steamboat.
Ricky Steamboat gives you 3.
JYD.
JYD gives you 4.
I'm going in order. Yeah. trying to remember in order. The Black Scorpion.
Black Scorpion gives you 5.
Scott Steiner.
Scott Steiner gives you 6.
Beautiful Bobby.
Beautiful Bobby gives you 7.
Rick Steiner.
Rick Steiner gives you 8.
There was a time there when they didn't have a lot of world title matches. I don't think they had one in 92 at all in the clash. So I'm going in 93 now. This is the NWA era. So Wyndham and Scorpio.
Wyndham and Scorpio. Good call for the NWA title. It's 9 and 10.
Then Vader and Davey Boy.
That gives you 11 and 12.
Hogan.
Hogan, of course, had a bunch, or several, 13.
This is world heavyweight title?
Yep.
And there's more? Yeah. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Now here was one in 92. Ron Simmons and Cactus.
Oh, there's 14 and 15.
Yeah. Forgot about that one. So 3 more.
3 more.
Brood and Road Warrior Hawk.
Oh, there we go. We have we're missing one name.
Did I not say Luger yet?
You have not. Would you like to?
Yeah.
Because that's 18.
Well, wait a second, though. Okay, so that was throwing me because I thought he didn't say Terry Funk either.
That wasn't a world title match.
It wasn't?
I Quit match was not a world title match.
Nope.
Oh.
Okay. My answer was Macho Man. Macho Man, wasn't he in one of them at MGM or no?
No, tag. He was a tag.
No, the title changed. It was earlier in the week on Nitro.
There you go. See, I would have been wrong. I'm like, how's he not getting Macho Man?
I said Rick Steiner and he faced Luger, and I'm just like,
Yeah, you forgot that you didn't say Luger.
Forgot it was Luger.
Yep.
Wow.
Very good. Very impressive as usual, Chris.
I can remember stuff. Specifically advertise that as non-title? Because I have no memory of that match.
It was never advertised for the title.
So it was never advertised for the title, but it was never formally advertised as non-title.
They just never advertised it was a title match. They just focused on I Quit.
So they did the Hogan Piper thing just with it being a gimmick match.
Yeah, basically.
WCW, everybody.
Of course. Woo. All right.
All right. Well, one down. All right, Rob, since you are in second place right now, you get the choice between the category with 13 items on it and the one with 32.
We're going on, 32, baby.
Okay.
32, yeah.
32, wow.
32, baby.
All right, this is you and Chris. So I'll just say, at Clash 19, the whole show was comprised of the first round of a tournament for the NWA tag titles. 32 men were entered into that tournament. How many can you name? And we need the names of the individual wrestlers.
Motherfucking one of them.
You gonna go for it?
This is my sweet spot, of course. Yes.
I should have figured out that was the third. I mean, I wouldn't have been able to pick anyway. But now I feel bad trying to apply psychology there because I feel like that one's actually kind of easy. I'm not challenging him on that. Chris is the one who would anyway. So yes.
Chris would, but he's all 32, so he's all in.
What you got, Rob? All right. So we've got Dean Malenko, Joe Malenko, Nikita Koloff,
representing
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
3 and 4.
All right. We have Bobby Eaton and Arn Anderson.
5 and 6.
Dustin Rhodes and Barry Windham. The O'Day family. Larry O'Day.
Yep.
What a old
we have. Man. We have Dr. Death, Steve Williams.
Oh, who is Larry O'Days? We do need.
We're gonna get back to him because I'm really kicking myself right now. But okay, we're gonna get back to that. Okay, I'm not gonna say I don't know him yet, but we're just gonna say Larry O'Day for now.
All right,
I'm gonna call him motherfucking O'Day for now. But wait, we'll get back to him.
No, wait. I have a question though. Does it have to be people who actually wrestled on the show or who were entered in it?
I did say who were entered in the tournament. So
okay,
yeah, I got those two. Okay, we've got Larry O'Day, we've got Dr. Death, we've got Terry Gordy, we got Akira Nogami, and we have Hiroshi Hase. We have the masked headhunters, and not headhunter 1 and 2, from the Dominican Republic. We have Brian Pillman, we have Jushin Liger, we have Biff or Beef Wellington, and we have Chris Benoit. We have the Silver Kings 1 and 2, Tejano and Silver King. We have Michael Hayes and Jimmy Garvin.
All right, you're doing good. We are missing
the Puerto Rican team is El Boricua and Ricky Santana. Or was it Miguel? It's Miguel Perez and Ricky Santana, but then they got attacked in a car wreck, Puerto Rican car wreck, according to Dr. Ben. Because I'm telling you, this is my favorite show of all time. It's one of the few clashes I even know the number of it, 19. So what are we at right now, my friends?
I think you're missing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 names.
I am? Oh, my God. Okay. Back to the drawing board. Okay. Steve Austin, Rick Rude.
Correct. Those two are right.
Motherfucking Z-Man.
Tom Zenk was in there. That's correct.
God, but who's his teammate? Oh my God, it's gonna drive me to drink. Okay, so Marcus Alexander Bagwell. We're missing 3 names, including O'Day. Okay. So I didn't name 2. Which I'm really perplexed by because I thought I got all the tag team matches. This other O'Day brother is gonna haunt me for the rest of my life. Let me see. There's Larry O'Day and his son. Jeff O'Day.
Jeff is correct.
Okay.
Wow. 2 more names.
Okay, so I had to say their names in conjunction. Fuck. Okay, now these last two. I've said Jimmy Garvin, Michael Hayes, the Silver Kings. said everyone in the Benoit tag. I said Arn and Bobby. I said Wyndham and Dustin. Oh, the motherfucking Steiners. I've done it.
Can we have their first names, please, just for...
Oh, their first names are indeed Rob and Scott, if you want to call him Rob Rex Steiner, but I think it's Rick. It's Rick and Scott Steiner. I've done it, guys.
Yes, you did it. All 32.
Holy shit. If I wouldn't have guessed Jeff O'Day's name, I would have never forgiven myself for the rest of my life. Unbelievable. I did it. I got all 32, guys.
There you go.
Oh, I impressed myself on that.
True.
You should. Absolutely.
All right.
Well, man, Rob, I'll tell you what, too. The Steiners, I completely spaced on the fact that they were my favorite match in the entire night. So I'd have been really fucking mad if I forgot that, too. Because that ending when Bill Watts said, we're going to hook him up, and it was the first ever Steiners, Gordy Doc, one of my top five live watching TV wrestling moments ever. So,
let's hook it up.
Yes, let's hook him up. Good question.
Rob, you're not done yet because we have one more question.
Oh boy.
You and Bix. Bix, you're going to start.
Okay.
Clashes 2 through 15, the show's had 13 specific subtitles. How many can you name? And this doesn't include the 20th anniversary show there. But from Clash 2 to 15, they had cute little subtitles there. How many can you name?
I'm going to go with 10.
10, all right.
Because I need to do a couple clashes that are blind spots for me.
Yep. Rob, what do you think?
Oh boy. And the funny thing is, I watch all of these more than any others, but my retention of show names is not good, so we'll challenge him to do the 10.
All right, 10.
Okay. Miami Mayhem.
That gives you 1.
Fall Brawl.
That gives you 2.
St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
That gives you 3.
Fall Brawl 89.
Well, Fall Brawl is just counts as 1.
Aww.
Sorry.
New York Knockout.
Knockout gives you 4.
That time that they pretended that being in Albany was New York City. Texas Shootout.
That's 5.
Knoxville, USA.
Gives you 6. We need 4 more.
Mountaintop Madness. Or Mountain Madness.
All right, that gives you 7. We need 3 more.
There are a couple that I'm kicking myself on because I feel like I should know them, and they're less in the area where the clashes run together. And all of them from 2 through 15 have a subtitle?
Yes.
See, when I was trying to figure out how many to guess, I was focusing more on like mid-90 through mid-91 clashes that all run together. And then I wasn't thinking, oh wait, I'm not sure I remember what 6 or 7 are. I mean, I know the damn theme with 7. I just can't remember what the actual name was. Oh, Champion 6, The Ultimate Gamble.
What's that?
Oh, no, wait, no, I'm wrong. I'm confusing that with the original Wrestle War plan. Never mind. it's been a long week. I like, by the way, how you made the higher numbers the easier ones. Really, by the way, I really appreciate that.
I could have knocked this out in 2 or 3 minutes. This is easy. This is the easiest one.
No, honestly, easiest.
This is definitely easy.
Because I'm not sure. I'm not sure I would have gotten Rude and Hawk on the world title match one. The others, I think I would have gotten. I'm not sure I would have gotten that one. I'm tapping out.
Oh my gosh! Do you want me to fill it in?
Sure, go for it.
All right, so so where we started? We're starting at 6?
6, 7, 13, 14 are the missing ones.
Was 4 not said?
No, 4 was not said either.
Okay, oh, that's right. All right, Seasons Beatings.
That's correct.
You have Raging Cajun.
Was 6, yep.
Guts and Glory.
Yeah, it was 7.
Texas Shootout.
Texas Shootout was 10.
I said Texas Shootout.
Oh, no, he
said that one.
Okay,
it was 13 that was missing.
All right, Coastal 13, Crush. I
place. Coastal Crush is right.
Thanksgiving Thunder.
Thanksgiving Thunder.
How Coastal Crush?
And Dixie Dynamite.
Dixie Dynamite. Yeah. Last one. Yep.
See, I kept thinking of Dixie Dynamite and Coastal Crush, but I wouldn't have known whether it was Coastal Crunch or Coastal Crush, so that might have gotten
Coastal Crush.
Yeah. Very good.
Extremely easy.
All right, so that's 2 points to Rob. Easy work there. After 3 rounds, Rob, you're in the lead with 11.
oh my God, I could finally win if I don't end up like the Buffalo Bills again.
Both have eight.
Ryan, Chris.
Very close. Yep. You tied with eight. So still very close with two rounds to play.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card. But with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club slab pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show, and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it, and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, ah, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, you know, almost nothing, you know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You get a display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading, so you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, setting these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet, arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver. No drilling required. Keyless entry. No more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally, and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They are on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy video lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived, and really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys, reach in my pocket, or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy video lock. I touch it, 0.3 second fingerprint recognition, 1 second, door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
And I'm going to unveil a brand new game for round four.
Oh,
it's called A Winner is Who. So for this one, I'll give you a match, stipulation, or event. You tell me who won the match. So if I said the only barbed wire match in Clash history, you hopefully respond the Road Warriors and Dusty Rhodes. So the correct answer could be one person, could be a tag team, could be three or four men. So everyone gets five questions. Correct answer is worth 1 point apiece. Rob, you're up first. Are you ready?
Hell yeah.
Who won the match with the first title change in Clash history?
That would be Lex Luger and Barry Windham.
Is correct. All right, Bix, you get the only Clash match to win the worst match in the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Awards.
You mean worst match of the year? Sorry, I mean it.
Yeah, worst match of the year. Who won that match?
Only Clash match to win worst match of the year? You realize there's a big gap in difficulty between these first two questions, right?
Oh, I know this one easily.
I wish I would have had this one.
This is a famous one.
Oh, wait, I'm an idiot. Sid Vicious versus the Night Stalker.
And who won that match?
Oh, that would be Malicious Sid Vicious.
That's right. You don't turn your back on the Night Stalker, as Paulie said.
Do not turn your back on the Night
Stalker. Chris, you have the longest match in Clash history.
Longest match in Clash history. That's got to be Sting and Flair. That's going to be Sting and Flair, so that would be a draw.
Chris.
Sorry. Ricky Steamboat won. The Rage
Oh, shit! Match. Oh!
All right, Rob, back to you. You have the only battle royal in Clash history.
Oh, I love this. This one was won by my main man, Elegante, in the Georgia Red Clay match.
That is correct. All right, Vix, you get the first main event with a definitive ending, meaning a pinfall or submission. Who won that?
Oh, that would be Ric Flair and Barry Windham.
And Clash 4 is correct. All right, Chris, you get who won the first tournament final in Clash history?
That's got to be United States Tag Titles. There's a tournament every fucking year, so that'd be the Fantastics.
That's correct. All right, Rob, back to you. You have the only light heavyweight title defense. Who won that match?
Brian Pillman.
Is correct. Clash 17. Okay, Bix, you have the first singles title change. Who won that match that featured the first singles title changing hands at a Clash?
First singles title change on a Clash. I'm trying to figure out even what the match was. I don't know.
That was Rick Rude, all the way to Clash 17.
Okay.
All right, Chris, the only title unification match in Clash history.
Sting and Flair. That's Flair.
Flair's correct. All right, Rob, back to you. Who won the first match where the TV title changed hands?
Oh, man. This is a tough one. Let me think. Ricky Steamboat?
That is correct.
Oh, my God. So that was 20. Way deep into the clashes, right?
That was 20.
That's 20.
Yeah. And we already mentioned that match earlier in the show. Yeah,
that was mentioned previously.
All right, good. I remember it.
Vix, you have the one handicap match in Clash history.
That would be Vader defeating Ric Flair and Arn Anderson.
That is correct. Clash 31. Okay, Chris, we'll say the first match by forfeit, because I think Disco Inferno forfeited one. I don't know if it's official or not, but just to be safe, we will say who won the first match that ended in a forfeit.
The Steiners and the Puerto Ricans. The Steiners won.
That is correct. All right. Final set of questions. Rob, you have the final main event of a Clash.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, Scott Hall and Randy Savage actually discussed earlier also.
I knew Scott Hall was involved in a tag team match, but there's no way I would remember the partner.
All right, Vix, your final question of the round. The only Pat O'Connor Memorial Tag qualifier.
Oh, my God. Okay, so that would be the African Finals, where the South African, quote-unquote, team of Sergeant Kruger and Colonel De Klerk, a.k.a. Ray Apollo and Ted Petty, defeated the, quote-unquote, African, a.k.a. Black representatives, which, I mean, I don't need to say it because that's not the answer to the question, but Kahlua and the Beast.
That is correct.
So real quick story on this match. When I was a little kid, we didn't get TBS, so I didn't see this clash, obviously. But like, they showed the highlights of this match on Worldwide. And when I saw all the participants in the match and the shitty punches being thrown, even then, as someone who believed, I'm like, these guys are all so shitty that there's no way this is like regular wrestlers for real. And like, they're just and I just like, I don't know who this is or why they're here. And even more than the match with Night Stalker on the same show, which they also showed on Worldwide, I watched that match. I'm like, what is this? Why are these people in wrestling? Who are they? What is it?
Also, same show as Tom Zane, Brian Lee.
Just the cream of the crap on that one. And
Motor City Madman on that show.
I ended up being a Ted Petty fan, but not that day. Yeah.
All right, Chris, your final question. And this one's a little complex. We're going to say shortest match at the Clash. Now, it gets a little dicey depending where you look. So I'll say there have been four matches that ended in under 30 seconds at a Clash. If you give me the name of one of the people that won one of those matches, I will count it.
Four matches under 30 seconds?
Under 30 seconds at a Clash. If you tell me who won one of them, I will give you credit for a correct answer.
Oh, Vinny Vegas. He beat Thomas Rich at the Clash, the Topeka one.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was like 56 seconds.
Oh, no!
No.
Looking for Luger?
I thought we were really up this one.
Yeah. Luger
beating Sid is the huge one.
At a Clash 11. Yeah. Steve Austin.
That broke my heart. I thought Sid sucked after that. I was like, God, my favorite's back and he lost in 30 seconds. He sucked.
Steve Austin beat Joey Maggs in 25 seconds at Clash 15.
Wow.
Brian Pillman beat Brad Armstrong in 25 seconds.
Yeah, after I should have known that. I was there. Yeah.
And the Giant beat Chris Benoit in 23 seconds at Clash 33.
Wow. What a list.
So after four rounds, we have Rob in the lead with 15.
Wow.
Fix with 12. Chris with 11 as we head to the final game, the sprint. I will ask each of you individually 10 fill-in-the-blank questions in a row. Correct answers worth 1 point apiece. We don't go back, so if you don't know, just guess. Do your best.
Okay.
All right, Chris, you are in third place. You are first. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. The 20th Clash, which marked the 20th anniversary of wrestling on TBS, was held at blank.
Center Stage.
Correct. Short-lived and reviled tag team Blank made their debut at Clash 7.
Ding dongs.
Correct. At Clash 32, Brian Pillman grabbed Bobby Heenan by the neck, causing Heenan to blank.
he cursed.
He cursed is correct. Dusty Rhodes beat Kevin Sullivan at Clash 3 when he pinned blank.
Gary Hart.
Correct. Bobby Eaton was still billed as TV champ at Clash 15, despite having lost the title already to blank.
Arn Anderson.
Oh, it's Steve Austin.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
At Clash 6, the Varsity Club beat the Road Warriors when blank fast counted a pin.
Teddy Long.
Correct. The Steiners defended the blank against Hiroshi Hase and Masahiro Chono at Clash 15.
IWGP Tag Titles.
Correct. Freebirds beat the Steiners at Clash 8 when blank tripped Scott.
Robin Green.
Correct.
Good.
Tim Horner was under a mask as blank as he took on Michael Wall Street at Clash 13.
Starblazer.
Wow, correct.
Another classic.
And finally, San Francisco 49er player blank told the ref Barry Windham used the chair at Clash 3.
John Ayers.
Oh, correct. Wow.
Technically, he was a Denver Bronco, though, but I'll
just... Just give Chris the win.
All right. Chris, you had 9 correct answers out of 10. Oh, that gives you 20 points. You're in the lead right now.
Oh, yeah, man. I should have got that other one, though. I'm pissed.
Okay, Bex, you're up next. Are you ready?
I am.
Okay, I'll assume so. Blank made an infamous entrance at Clash 23.
23? Oh, the Shockmaster.
Correct. The Blackmailer, Russian Assassin 2, Super Destroyer, Terrorist were all played by Blank.
That would be the Monster Factory's Jack Victory.
Correct. Clash Raging Cajun took place at the Blank.
The New Orleans Superdome.
Correct. Sting blew out his knee blanking at Clash 10.
What, are you expecting me to say fucking? Like,
no, that's not climbing.
It's the match game.
Yeah, it's climbing.
Yeah. All right. Blank attacked Hulk Hogan backstage before his match with Flair at Clash 28.
Nobody did because it was not backstage. It was on the entrance stage, but it was Arn Anderson as the masked man who would later be Brother Blue Eye.
I guess we'll accept that, yes.
Yep.
Ivan Koloff had the handicap of Blank as he took on Paul Jones at Clash 4.
One arm behind his back.
Correct.
Wow.
Actor Blank was a judge at Clash 1 and would appear in the company in the years to come.
Was not a judge, but you're talking about Jason Hervey.
I am. All right. I said I can't fact check these because they're not on friggin' Peacock. So, all right. Missy Hyatt defeated Paul Lee at Clash 14 in an arm wrestling match when she blanked.
Took off her jacket.
And showed her cleavage, yes. Blank guest refed Hulk Hogan, Yvette Sullivan, and Sting versus the Three Faces of Fear at Clash 29.
He did? Obviously, that's Mr. T.
It is. It's correct. And finally, Susan Sexton defended the Blank title at Clash 12.
You motherfucker. Also, you didn't phrase it as a blank. You just said defended the title.
I thought the Blank
title. You didn't say against Blank. No. Oh, the Blank title. Oh, that's easy. LPWA.
That or, is correct.
As the belt actually said, the LPWA the LPWA championship.
Wow. All right, so Bix, you ran the table. A perfect score of 10. That gives you 22. You are currently in the lead.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, Rob, you have 15. You need 7 to tie, 8 to win.
Oh, no. This is about as dramatic as it could possibly conclude with me in the game. But okay,
here we go. Here we go. At Clash 30, when Hulk Hogan was knocked unconscious, tag team partner Randy Savage blanked.
Replaced him. I don't know.
Oh, no, he gave him an elbow drop and revived him.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Okay. Oh, no.
All right. Wrestling legend Blank made his final appearance at Clash 20 before passing away a few months later.
Oh, Andre the Giant.
Correct. At Clash 23, Max Payne blanked Johnny B. Badd.
He shot him in the face of the Bad Blast, Bad Blaster in the face.
All right, correct.
Yeah,
right,
he just exploded in Johnny B. Badd's
face. Yeah, he exploded in Johnny B. Badd's face.
All right, during their False Count Anywhere match, Norman pinned Kevin Sullivan in the Blank.
The bathroom.
Correct.
The ladies' bathroom.
The ladies' bathroom, yeah.
Blank versus the Freebirds opened 3 straight clashes in 1990.
That would be the Southern Boys / Young Pistols.
Correct.
Lots of Confederate flags on those shows. Jesus.
All right. Blank guest ref Sting Avalanche at Clash 30 and turned heel afterwards.
Oh, no. Another one of my blind spots. Avalanche and Sting at one of the shitty Hulk Hogan era clashes. There was a referee that wasn't Mr. T, and someone turned bad after the match. Oh my god. Try to get a lot of this era out of my brain, but it's I don't know.
I was a Guardian Angel / Big Bubba.
Oh. Yes. And he turned heel because that referee right there wasn't supposed to be in the ring.
Oh my god, I'm losing it, guys.
Blubber.
All right, Cactus Jack beat Van Hammer at Clash 18 in a Falls Count Anywhere match when Blank hit Hammer with a shovel.
Abdullah the Butcher.
Correct. Sting, Michael Hayes, and Junkyard Dog were to get a shot at the 6-man titles at Clash 5, but Blank happened.
Oh, they got locked in a room.
They got locked in the cages, correct. Eddie Guerrero pinned DDP at Clash 33 to win the Blank.
The United States title.
That was the Battle Bowl ring, actually.
Yes, Starrcade 96 was the U.S. title.
All right.
Oh, no, I've lost.
No, you can tie it with this. If you get this right.
Oh, great.
You can tie it. For time.
Yes, we have a tiebreaker, okay. So. All right.
All right.
Blank interrupted the Parker Sherry wedding at Clash 32.
Medusa.
Oh, correct. All right, so Rob, that gives you 7. So, at the end of regulation, we have a tie.
Oh, my yes, God. Yes, the big news is that Chris lost again.
Aw. Chris is the real winner for getting all those world title participants.
Yeah, he is.
And just like the last show, I always get the toughest one, the toughest one right, but I lose the game in the end. But that's all right.
All right, so we have our tiebreaker. So I'm going to need the question is this, and I will need a numerical answer from each of you. You can DM me on Twitter or if you wish to communicate to me.
Oh no.
So, yeah, Rob messed it up last time.
He did, yes. But
that's where we had a tiebreaker last time too.
I always have one just at handy, and I always use it because I'll never get a chance to use it again after I calculate it. But in this case, it will come in very handy. The question is this. Of the 35 clashes, how many different states did they take place in? So how many different states can say they hosted a clash? All right, we have Rob's answer. And we have Bix's answer. And this is whoever comes closest.
It is close in either direction, right?
Can I guess for shits and giggles?
Yeah, you can. Sure, you can throw a guess out.
All right. Well, I'll wait for you then to announce them, and then I'll go.
All right. So Rob guessed 18, and Bix guessed 9, and the correct answer is 15.
Oh.
You had Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, North Carolina, Nevada, New York, Ohio, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Virginia, and Wisconsin all hosted a clash. Rob, you pulled it out in the end.
Are you sure I didn't lose because I went over like on prices, right?
No, we do whoever came closest.
Good.
Now, wait a second. What if I had said 12 like Chris? Would there have been another tiebreaker?
I probably would have to come up with another one, yes.
Oh, my God. I did it, guys. I won a thing.
Oh, the hero's journey has come to an end. Rob, fourth try. Right now.
I'm so excited.
Has won this clash of the champions. Rob, why don't you plug whatever it is you need to plug?
First of all, I'm happy you had me on the show. It's my favorite one ever. I thought I would not do as good as I did, just to make a statement first. I also think that the dumbest match ever was the first match ever to clash, which is Jimmy Garvin against Mike Rotunda in a college match. I don't know what the fuck is that? I thought that would be one of the things, but it wasn't. It's okay. I'm going to plug Cover to Cover with Chris. The Patreon is probably not coming anytime soon. I have stuff made. I've sent it to people. They enjoy it. But yeah, I'm putting that on ice. Maybe one day. That's about all I got. Everyone be nice to each other. That's all. I'm so happy. This was like such a good one. So I highly thank you for having me on the show, Joe. You do a great job.
Oh, thank you very much. All right. Bix and Chris, I know you have similar things to plug, so Bix, you came in second, technically. I'll let you go ahead.
Nah, fuck it. Chris, do it.
All right, Chris.
Well, I'm so used to being the one to do it. All right, so let's go cover to cover first. Yes, we will be recording a new, well, I don't know if I'm going to put it as a cover to cover or not, since it's not going to be really a, me and Rob's doing a podcast. We'll probably do it, make an exile. So be on the lookout for that. Coming up soon, a special podcast for our birthday, which we, of course, had the birthday the same day. So we'll be recording that soon, so be on the lookout for that. A listener-suggested theme, so that should be a hoot as we do that. So be watching out for that in the next couple of weeks. Between the Sheets, of course, every Monday, usually. This week we had a little issue that prompted it to go up on Tuesday, but usually every Monday, so check that out. As we have that up, and the last show we did as we're recording this is our 6th anniversary show, where we talked about Vincent Mann's Penthouse article and a lot of explosive stuff there, and all the other stuff in 1992, a crazy era in pro wrestling. And the one we're recording as we're doing this right now is we're going back to 1987, and Bo James is back with us, our 7th year, beginning of our 7th year of the show, where we'll talk about the end of the Great American Bash, the Orange Bowl, Crockett taking over Florida, and Watts as that's going on. Gordon Sully's last show in Florida on TV. We'll have all kinds of news from Japan, Mexico, blah, 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 blah. Memphis Price is Right, a really good, fun segment there. And yeah, Bam Bam Bigelow and WF, all kinds of stuff going on there. So really fun show. So check that out and Yeah, of course, Walk on the Wild Side, my Wild Side series on Exxon Bass Street with Jeff G. Bailey and Dan the Dragon Wilson. We did it in one of those shows a couple weeks ago. Definitely go check that out. All those shows there. Plus, we'll have one coming up. Great series if you want to get into some premium independent wrestling from the early 2000s. And yeah, that's all I got going on. Follow me on Twitter at Chris Zellner, KRISZELLNER, and BT Sheets at BT Sheets Pod. All right.
Very good. Bix, anything for
the Patreon then?
Because you didn't vote for
it. Patreon.com/20Sheets. And Bix, go ahead and talk about that.
Yeah. So our latest show up there for Patreon members at the $5 a month level or higher looks at the summer of punk 2011 and how it was quickly derailed by bad booking and all sorts of other stuff, including how that stuff actually did in the Nielsen ratings. How Raw's competition compared to Raw's competition today in the Nielsen ratings. Oh. All the weird... Go ahead.
Yeah, folks, you'd be surprised. It blew my mind to see what the TV ratings was at that point in time for some shows that are still on today. They don't get those ratings like that no more.
Well, also shows that are not on anymore, but that you wouldn't have expected getting so many viewers, like Switch at Birth, like doing like 2.5 million viewers.
And TNT just family. Kicking ass on Monday nights.
And History Channel.
Yeah.
But that, all the nonsense that was going on there, you know, the Punk GQ interview, the Punk Australia thing where WWE lied to GLAAD again. There's that. There's WWE's weird habit of booking John Cena like an asshole, albeit figuring it out at least one of the times during that program.
And Rob Naylor gets a tryout and CM Punk name drops him on Raw that time.
Well, no, we didn't get up to that.
Yeah, but he name dropped me before I was officially hired, and like I just remember being like, "Oh my god, if I don't get hired, what the fuck?" Like I had tried out, and then it just so happened he knew about it, obviously, and then like I was like, "Oh shit!" And that show's almost like always declared the worst Raw of all time. So what a distinction! So, thank you.
Oh, is that the? It's the one where
everyone goes on
where the wrestling's on strike.
Yeah.
Brutal.
No, the vote, no confidence. That's right.
But yes, all sorts of stuff on there. So patreon.com/betweentheSheets. And of course, we got plenty of other deep dives up there with, you know, a lot of the stuff from the past year being about the latter stages of ECW. And as our friend Joe Sposto likes to put it, all of Paul's lies lined up back to back, one after the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you love Paul Heyman or hate Paul Heyman, Between the Sheets Patreon's for you.
Plus the WCW sale stuff, where I think we changed the narrative a bit.
I'd at least I hope we did. Yeah,
because there's a lot there with the you know the main thing being that Jimmy Kellner is not nearly as responsible for everything that happened as everyone acts like he did.
Nope.
So there's, you know, lots of that, much more in the Paul Heyman extended universe, shows about Ric Flair's original WCW departure and WCW return, show a bunch of shows about the Observer Readers pages, looking at the deaths of Eddie Gilbert and Art Barr, much more on the Patreon, patreon.com/betweentheSheets. Plus, of course, if you do a month or more, you get one for each time. At the $25 a month level or higher, you can pick a week for us to do, and potentially if you go to a higher level, pay to appear on the show that you picked. So patreon.com/betweentheSheets.
You guys should do a $100 Patreon level where basically for the real psychopaths, Robert O'Connor comedy special. let him go off for an hour and see who turns their phone off quick enough. But yeah.
We've had people pay and specifically request him though.
Oh, yeah, he's fantastic. I usually just go to the jokes because I've literally walked away from him on so many jokes he's told me, and it's always certainly lives up to his reputation. God bless him.
Indeed. Oh, there are absolutely jokes he's refused to drop on me outside of in-person situation.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He's a sweet guy, though. Just the warped sense of humor. God bless
him.
Yes. We always have to reiterate that to people who might not actually know him, but he's hilarious.
All right. Well, I want to thank everyone for being on. This was a great, great episode. This was a clash of champions, shall we say?
I'm going to win next time.
Yeah.
Call my shot.
Get the Great American Bash or something. We'll figure it out, and we'll get everyone back on for that. Can't wait. And I just want to say the Five Star Match Game is a proud member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Follow us on Twitter at Five Star Match Game with the number 5, or email us at fivestarmatchgame@gmail.com with 5 spelled out. Our logo was designed by Rich Preach, and the show may be edited for entertainment purposes. And we will be back probably in September, and it might be time to finally do the TNA in the 2000s episode. So look forward to that. I have some great ideas. Can't wait to see it. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you soon. Bye. Oh, 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 oh